Sure.
Okay. We'll move on and discuss item three before we take a vote on, take action on item two. We'll take it together.
So the materials start on page 51 for the trial court trust fund. As we've discussed, we provide revenue updates and fund updates. We are all aware that the revenues in the trial court trust fund have been declining. And so in terms of the current projections, we see a negative fund balance that I think you can find on page 53 of the materials, sort of is the numerical presentation. Based on current revenue projections and expenditures, we have a negative fund balance in the 14-15 fiscal year. We do have a positive fund balance at the end of the current year, and I know that there were folks who were very concerned whether or not, when they heard about this $70 million issue, whether or not it was going to be a current year or a budget year issue. And it is, we believe, a budget year problem that we need to resolve. We see that what in terms of actual revenues compared to what were projected going between fiscal years 12-13 and 13-14, we did see a decline, in which contributed to our revenue shortfall. So we have a current year reduction in what the governor's budget assumptions were, $5 million in revenues in the current year and $35 million in the budget year. So that's pushing down our revenues coming into the fund. Next, as you know, that this body had recommended and the council adopted for 2 years consecutively, funding benefit costs that were not paid for from the state. We put that on the back of the trial court trust fund so that we would not result in further reductions to your operations. So this then is pushes expenditures down, or expenditures up, and our fund balance down even further. So clearly, those are two important factors. Base revenues going down, and people are asking, well, what revenues are you seeing going down? And we try to provide that information. And if you look at page 58 of the combined, at the top there is a chart that shows total, unlimited, and limited first paper civil filings and paid filings. And if you look at that chart, you can see that starting in 2008-09, we see a pretty steady decline. Some people were asking us, well, are you seeing fee waivers greater than in the past? Well, there's been some of an increase in fee waivers, but what you see is the red line, which is the actual paid filings, sort of declining in the same rate. So we're not seeing filings declining, but paid filings somehow dropping even further off the table. They're declining at the same rate. The decline is unfortunate, but we're not seeing a sort of a greater increase. If you look on the prior page, Colin did a very good job of identifying where fee increases occurred. And it's to no one's surprise that fee increases during a time of economic downturn push revenues down. So you get the combination of the economics pushing the revenues down, and I think we think there's just a barrier to access to justice because of the increased fees. So those are sort of strong factors as to what direction the revenues are going. So we've talked about the revenue decline. We've talked about the expenditure increase. Next is the movement of the $20 million from the IMF to the trial court trust fund, the recommendation that moves stays within the trial court or into the improvement and modernization fund. That adds another $10 million to the problem. So when you get down to it, the bottom line is a $67.8 million structural problem. But let me put a big note on that. Is that I just mentioned that we, for 2 years now, have been paying for benefits out of the trial court trust fund. This $67.6 million assumes that we do not make that payment in 14-15. It is not scheduled. But let me remind you that our blueprint does ask for $64.8 million of accumulated benefit shortfalls that have not been funded by the state. So we're continuing to advocate for that. So in theory, we're not asking for it in two places. If they would not fund the benefits on that side. In theory, then, if we were had an expectation that the Troxler Trust Fund were to continue to make those expenditures, we'd have a $97 million structural shortfall. But we don't have those resources, and that's why we're continuing to advocate for the general fund paying its share for the costs. So the reason that we're not just trying to solve the fund balance problem is because that just means that the problem reoccurs next year. We get enough to cover the sort of the shortfall this year, but next year we'd be in a hole again. So in order to at least bring some level of stability, I know the materials say the 67.8, but I'll be rounding for the purposes, I think, of advocacy here, is $70 million is an amount that at least brings us into balance, that we bring the amount of revenues and expenditures into balance so that we're not creating a structural shortfall. Yes, Judge Good, we could probably ask for a greater amount to create a fund balance, but this is the amount that we believe we need to have some minor fund balance and fund your base allocations at the rates that they've been funded in this year. Otherwise, what we would be doing is asking the state to give us general fund just to park it in our Troxler Trust Fund. And we think that there are mechanisms to manage, at least for next year, the fund balance going forward. But we need to get that fund balance higher. One reason I think our advocacy needs to be so strong and we really need to represent, this obligation of the state is because, number one, we took it on the backs of the Troxler Trust Fund to fund these benefits, which they should fund, absolutely. And that is a steadfast position that that's something that they should do. Number two is that the state has an obligation to maintain these allocations. Even though we become reliant on these revenues, we should not be then at the whim of those revenues adjusting your allocations and saying, well, you should just live with the revenues that you get. This should be a general funded program, and it's important that we continue that. Thirdly, since the unfortunate 1% fund balance, we can't then rely on you to have fund balances to make up the gap. So there isn't then even that backstop. So we as a branch have spent down our backstop. They're taking away your backstop. So we have nowhere to turn in order to maintain these expenditures and these allocations. We have to turn back to the general fund. And given that the general fund is vastly improved, from even the governor's budget projections are $1 billion above the projections that they just released in January. We feel that this is the time where we need to make it clear that the state has an obligation to maintain the allocations to the trial courts, and that it's not, like I said, the whims of the revenues coming in and out of the trust fund. We feel that that's really the important issue to preserve and protect and then build from there those allocations.
So I'm ready to make a motion, unless there's...
Let me ask, obviously Sherry and Judge Trent Acosta led this Herculean effort in reviewing these the funds, and I suppose it's not lost on any of you that work will be enormous next year. Anyone have any questions of Judge Trent Acosta or Sherry or the other members of the group who plotted through this?
And if staff have anything to offer that I missed, please fill in so we can have the fullest discussion possible.
Judge, this is Jake. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jake.
So I guess there's an embedded assumption here. So if my recollection is correct, the online 31 on page 53, that's the one-time component of the surplus or deficit, which LACO is the benefit funding you were talking about that the council took action last year to allocate to the courts, correct?
Yes.
But that action last year was to allocate that funding ongoing with the knowledge that the trust fund may not have the funding for it come 14-15.
Right.
So essentially what this includes is, I guess, a recommendation that we'd be making to the council to back out that allocation?
Sort of reverse it as an ongoing allocation, yes.
So there would have to be an action taken by the council to reverse that ongoing allocation in a like amount to what everyone receives based on their benefit increases.
Yes.
Which would then leave us with $67 million.
Yes. Yeah, we have discussed, I think, a number of occasions that the trust fund doesn't look like it can afford 14-15, and folks said, well, let's see if the revenues turn. But it, unfortunately, the trends continued at this 6.7% decline. And so now we're saying we want to make it explicit. We need to show that expenditure cannot be supported, and especially since we're asking for it elsewhere, we don't want to double ask for the request, the funds.
I just want to make sure that, you know, all the courts, as we start to look at what does this mean for us locally, right, understand exactly how to do those calculations, since certainly what the shortfall looks like and what that reduction is for each court may vary depending on what allocation method is used. So it's just, I think, important for all of us to know, okay, well, that $20 million is coming out based on what you received last year from that specific allocation, assuming the BCP doesn't come through. And then the $67 million would be a separate figure.
Yeah. I mean, just leave it at that.
Okay.
Judge Clay.
Filaco, you indicated you had these ongoing discussions with the Department of Finance regarding these the shortfall in this benefit funding. What is now their position in your last discussions as it relates to this whole issue, which is sort of strapping the entire body with this number?
Sure. Well, in theory, I'm discussing an issue that hasn't been formally adopted by the council, so these are sort of preliminary staff discussions, but I felt like we needed to have this much sooner rather than later. So eventually the council will need to recommend that we formally submit a BCP. But notwithstanding that, I couldn't wait, you know, to really give them the numbers. What we have been doing is we've been discussing this downward trend and the revenue projections for several years now, and we've talked about this hope that the bottom would happen. And so what we've done is we've described to you is we tend to take our current year actuals and or estimates and make them our budget year so that we stay flat. And that was okay when we had fund balance, because we could take the risk that if there was that continued decline, that we would have fund balance to cover it. So that was the discussion. They were also optimistic this time last year, thinking that maybe last year was the bottom and we'd see a flattening and possibly an increase. And so that was the approach. But as we see the fund balance is declining, when I talk to them now, it's like we have to change the way we look at our projections. Since we do no longer have the truck or trust fund balance, nor local fund balances, we have to then plan for the worst. So that was the discussion. And we hadn't gotten to our final numbers, but Colin and Stephen had preliminary numbers. And so that was, I think, been 6 weeks ago when I first had the conversations with them. So they are understanding of the decline. In terms of explaining to them how we got there, I think Colin sent them on Monday like a 13-tab spreadsheet that gives them every piece of information, because I don't want them to ever say, we don't know how you got there. There can be, you know, well, we think that number might increase. You kept it flat. We think it'll increase. There could be debates on sort of the margin about the numbers. But what we're trying to convey to them and impress upon them is that this is real. This isn't a small $5 million, $10 million problem. This is a problem this big. We want you to understand, you don't want the revenues to cause the allocations to go down. Now, staff can't give me their recommendations quite yet, but I believe that at this point they understand the methodology that we've used and the legitimacy of the projections. So I think it's been 5 hours now of discussions over the last, 6 weeks about this, and I think that we've gotten them to the point where they understand the numbers. We had a two-hour meeting with the legislative analysts yesterday as well, because we obviously need to inform the legislature's analysts of these numbers. And Anita spent some good time with us on the phone and in person going over these numbers and the extended spreadsheets and they understood it, and they're not surprised. They just are, now they see the numbers. And so neither entity is surprised. We're not surprised. We just now finally, based on the most recent actuals, are able to make a more accurate projection of our 14-15 numbers. We have, 4 months more of data, and we see the trend. We were hopeful. I'd ask Colin, how's it going? And he'd say, it's a little bit low, but close. And I'd say, that's not good enough. I wanted to hear you say it's higher, but that's just not what we've seen. So I think between the DOF staff level and the legislative analysts, they understand the numbers. They have to, though, agree on the policy that our allocations should not be reduced. and therefore, what is the solution to preserve the allocations at that level plus the amounts that we're asking for in our blueprint? Because you don't want to go down on one side and up on the other, and you net into a place that's only marginally better.
Well, this issue of benefits, this is a structural thing that is ongoing every year.
Right.
And so no matter what, if you get additional money, if you still have to fund that, that's money that you're taking away from the core to operate on.
Right. So on that, in that regard, we, I think just last week, we finalized the request that was made by the court executives at the last SEAC meeting to run the benefit numbers at what the state rate would have been for us. And it's still, we're still short. So we need to counter the argument made by the Department of Finance that you don't have your employees contribute, and therefore you don't need all the money. And we're saying, well, even if we did what you did, which included this 3% increase, we still have $30 to $40 million shortfall. So I think we that's an important piece to show to them. Even if we did what you were doing from a health benefits perspective and a retirement perspective, you have not even funded us if we just participated in that process. Forget about our local negotiations and local agreements. We're short for that. So I think that's an important, that was an important question that we finally have an answer to in terms of our advocacy is we're short, even if you wanted to give us just what the state was giving its own executive branch departments.
So they're saying we should tax our employees to make a contribution to cover the benefits.
That's what the implication is in their in the governor's message in terms of looking to renegotiate and increase the employee share in cases where there are zero contribution.
So are they going to negotiate on our behalf with the SEIU for that issue? Tell them that.
No, they leave that to you folks to do that.
Okay.
But Sock, to be clear, as wrong-headed as that approach may be by the state, and Judge Clay is right, that's not what we're voting on here. This is a hole not created by benefits. It's a hole created by lack of revenue.
Right.
And we're saying that's a different BCP. At the very least, you got to cover that. Right?
But historically, part of the problem of where we are today is because we were unfunded for benefits and we used the Tri-Care Trust Fund to cover that. But as it stands now, we're just trying to cover the structural shortfall, and the benefits issue is being addressed separately.
Right.
As a question of policy to address Jake's concern, which I think is a legitimate concern, we make our recommendations based on the facts we have today.
Mm-hmm.
If when the budget is actually provided in July and it's completely different than what the facts we have today, in our review at that time, we can make completely different recommendations to the council at that point based on the facts we know then. In other words, if the news is not as good as what we're hoping today on our request, we're not tied to this decision when we look at the allocation methodology
right.
in July, right?
No, you're absolutely correct. And in fact, this is a request for us to go forward to ask for the funds.
Right.
This
right.
isn't an ask to how to allocate
right.
funds. This is you recognizing the problem and authorizing us to ask the council to formally request the funds, notwithstanding that we're, you know, working it as we would normally, you know, information and our relationships with the legislature and the Department of Finance.
So now I'm ready to make my motion.
What's your motion?
It's three parts. It would be to no longer transfer $20 million from IMF to the Trafford Trust Fund. That's part one. Is this too complicated to do it in parts to draw? Okay. Because I think they're all related. Part two is to move the expenses of V2 and V3 from IMF to the from the Trafford Trust Fund to the IMF. And then the third one would to recommend to the council to seek a BCP for the $67.6 million for general fund.
Can we round it to the 70?
I'd even go for 85, but... 70.
I think that the 70, because they are based on projections, so
sure.
I mean, the level of precision is...
Right. No, I understand. We don't want to have to come back. Yeah.
I'll second that motion.
David with the second. Any further discussion on the issue? Anybody on the phone? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah.